Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now, you're multitasking. But what if you could also be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average, and auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. So multitask right now. Get your quote now at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
I can tell you that, you know, all things equal, Cleveland is definitely the place that I would feel best about. Now, you know, that then you have to get into the world of, is somebody going to actually give me a chance to play, you know, and all the different things that go into that. I can't help but have a special feeling about Cleveland just because of the few weeks that I spent there and how great the city was. And listen, at the end of the day, I don't necessarily want that to be a huge part of, like, all of the decision, but I do think it will factor into the decision if I end up having a decision to make.
Joe Flacco on SiriusXM NFL Radio talking about his desire to return to Cleveland. We had reported just the day before that's his first choice. He loves the city. He loves the team. He loved everything about it, and why wouldn't he? Shows up November 20. Wins enough games to get to the playoffs, becomes the comeback player of the year. I voted for Baker Mayfield, number one, Flacco, number three, DeMar Hamlin, number two, but Flacco got enough votes to win it. It's a great story. He wants to go back, all things being equal, which means if all the offers are the same, that's what I want to do. I don't know how much more he would take to go somewhere else, but remember, he's the one guy, and I'm sure this is unprecedented, Chris. He was the starting quarterback of the Browns, and he wasn't even on the team. He was on the practice squad, and he was the starter. He could have signed with anyone, and they got some inquiries, and he told his agent, Joe Linta, at the time, I'm not interested. So now it's wide open. He can go anywhere he wants. He wants to go to Cleveland, apparently, all things equal. I think it's a complicated question, though, because the Browns, they're all in with Deshaun Watson. I don't know that you want Joe Flacco hanging around on the sideline as Deshaun Watson is still trying to live up to that contract that creates extra pressure on him, as we were saying yesterday.
Definitely.
$46 million fully guaranteed each and every year.
Right.
This is the year that Deshaun Watson, if he's ever going to justify that deal, this is the year. Does it help or does it hurt? It helps to have the security. It helps to have somebody who can come in and play like Joe Flacco did. Does it help Deshaun Watson, though, to have Joe Flacco hanging around, especially if Watson struggles at any point in the season?
Right. No, that's the million-dollar question. It's the million-dollar question. Right, I asked GM Andrew Berry when we were at the Combine last week, was there a part of you that was a little bit like, huh, I'm glad we didn't win another playoff game because the people in Cleveland might have been clamoring for, hey, why don't we just have Joe Flacco be the starter and do that? You know, now he gave us the right answer and, you know, I think believe said, you know, hey, we're all in on Deshaun Watson and all that, which they should be. I get that. But they got to figure that out here. They do. Right, they got to figure out too. Where do they think the backup quarterbacks are that they have on the roster already? Right, I mean, you know, I know PJ Walker was there. We know they like Dorian Thompson-Robinson, certainly. But do they feel like he's ready to be a backup of Deshaun Watson, who's, you know, been getting hurt a little more than we'd all like here as of late? Do they trust him to take over a team that I think I look at, a lot of people look at and go, whoa, there's talent here. They have Super Bowl-ish type talent on the roster. They're a Super Bowl-ish type football team here. The defense is phenomenal. We know that. The offense, when it's healthy, it's pretty damn good too when you break down the roster. So do they want to protect their team, right? With, wait, we got Deshaun Watson. If he doesn't play well or if he gets hurt, now we got Flacco, and he can go out there and win games for us and do that, right? But the rolling of the dice is kind of what you said. Oh, wait, you know, we start out 2-2 or we're 2-3 and Watson hasn't played good and Joe Flacco's on the bench. It's Cleveland. I guarantee we're going to hear boo birds for Watson and people are going to start clamoring. Go, why don't we put Joe Flacco back
Flacco
in there?
Flacco.
Exactly.
Flacco.
So
Flacco.
That's dangerous too, right? And then I also think there's the fine line of like Deshaun Watson himself is, what do they want to do there? Do they want him to be so comfortable that he just feels like, hey, I'm the man and PJ Walker and DTR have no chance of stealing my job? Or do they want to go, you know what? It's, you know, it's red poker time. We need to have a red hot poker here. We got to have somebody else in the quarterback room that kind of keeps you on edge. Maybe he's better that way. Maybe he'll be on his game to a different level. If he's going, damn, Joe Flacco's here. If I don't play good, then, I mean, my ass is going to be on the bench or the fans are going to be cheering for him. So that's, to me, kind of the psychology or the elements that Cleveland's got to deal with here and figure out and know their guys.
And he's 39.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Can still throw.
Yes.
And I think Andrew Berry acknowledged he's going to have that arm until he's in his 70s.
Right.
And showed a level of mobility that I think was stunning to a lot of us, frankly. We're so used to Tom Brady basically being the Statue of Liberty back there trying to throw the football. A guy getting older, moving at all is an improvement. But, you know, he was a turnover machine. We were concerned about that. It's one of the reasons why I picked the Texans to beat the Browns in the playoffs.
That's why I was going rein them in. Remember Devin McCourty making fun of me for saying that.
Yeah, those turnovers are killers when you get into a single elimination setting. All it takes is one, and you feel your season slipping away. So I think the Browns are probably, you know, if you would get the truth from the people who run the show, they probably would just like to say thanks for the memories and move on.
So.
I think they feel compelled to be in it a little bit.
Right.
If I'm Andrew Berry, I'm probably hoping that someone comes along and offers him something that we can't. And, yeah, Dorian Thompson-Robinson is the guy who you loved him last preseason. He started before he was ready.
Right.
And then when he got a chance to come back after he was more prepared, he had the concussion, and that's what opened the door for Joe Flacco. But, yeah, I think they'd rather just go forward with the guys they have. They need to. It's organizationally wise and prudent to create a situation where you're getting everything you can out of Deshaun Watson. Kind of like what the Panthers are doing with Bryce Young. You've made your bed.
Yeah.
You are all in with this guy. Don't do anything that disrupts what you're trying to do. Because there's still a chance Watson becomes the guy he was.
That's right.
Before.
Right.
Everything went haywire for him personally, and he sat out for a year and then missed 11 games of the next season. He can still get back to being who he was. That's the guy they've made the investment in. Three more years at 46, 46, and 46. He's got a huge cap number this year, too. They need to get the most out of this deal. So, as much as it would be a great story to continue, they don't want that
happening.
Great story.
I'm with you. You're right.
They don't need that great story.
That's right.
They don't need those Browns fans chanting Flacco, Flacco, Flacco.
Yeah.
Any time that Deshaun Watson incompletes a pass.
Yeah, I think so. That to me would be the point. I don't think they're going to want to deal with the headache and the public perception and all that in this conversation. Now, Flacco brought up about, hey, is somebody going to give me a chance to play? No, nobody's going to give him a chance to play. That's not going to happen at 39, right, with some of the things you talk about. But, I mean, value as a backup, of course. I mean, there's teams out there, again, we talk about this all the time, right, where I'm a little shocked with, whoa, you have a really good team and you're not going to have an insurance policy at quarterback? Like, you see how important that is? I mean, last year, we learned that firsthand across the league. It's important. Like, why do teams cheap out on that? And, yeah, if I'm a team that feels like I'm pretty good, right, and wait, we're pretty good, but gosh, if we lose our quarterback, the next guy is like, oh crap, we have to rearrange the way we play completely. That means you need a different quarterback to back up the team, right? So I would think his services are still going to be wanted throughout the league in right situations. That would make sense because he, like you said, he still can stand in there and throw it. He's a better athlete, always was, than he gets credit for. And for a backup and his whole career, Joe doesn't freaking get hurt. I mean, that's the other thing, too, and that's what you like. You don't want, you know, as I always say, Mr. Glass backing up Mr. Glass. That doesn't make sense. Right? Joe has got that way about, like, Brady never gets hurt, no matter how hard he gets hit. So that's where he's a good backup as well.
He loves football.
Yeah.
He wants to keep playing. He's the rare guy who was the highest paid player in football who is willing to hang around as long as he can because he loves the game. For some reason, he wasn't on a team until November 20 of last year. But I agree with you. It's not like somebody is going to say, here's the starting job, or go compete to be the starter. The absolute best thing he can hope for is to be the short-term Band-Aid while a team figures out who it's going to draft in round one. But even then, it's hard to
I don't think he's even that
excited
exactly
about Joe Flacco
right.
coming to town.
That's right.
Because that's part of it too, folks. It's not just X's and O's and who's going to help win games. This is the time of year where people are deciding whether to renew season tickets. They're you know, you want to win the press conference, especially if you chronically can't win when the games are played. There are business reasons for making some of these free agent moves. And the other thing I picked up yesterday, too, trying to figure out what Baker Mayfield is going to do, and I think it's most likely Tampa, but the Vikings are a possibility if Kirk Cousins leaves. Most of these other teams that need quarterbacks want to go young. They want to go young. So if 28 is too old for these teams, 39 is too old for these teams as well. We need to take a break. I'm being told to take a break politely, but I know when there's just that little edge in there that I better shut up and take a break. So I will. We'll be back with more right after this.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters, both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because I have a charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink? This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera. Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
How did most people miss on Patrick Mahomes?
I didn't. Did you know that?
No offense to Sam Darnold, but there's no way he deserves to be the first pick of the draft.
Who does?
I think the best quarterback in the draft is Lamar Jackson.
Yes, I know the completion percentage is going to concern people. Yeah, he didn't get to throw 12 screens a game like Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, where he got to go 12 for 12 with throws that didn't go beyond the line of scrimmage.
I'm a huge Justin Herbert fan. I am. Then, yeah, I'm into arm. I mean, there's no doubt about that. Does it lead me the wrong way sometimes? Yeah.
I'm blown away by Zach Wilson.
C.J. Stroud is beyond blown away. Like, I knew my Zach Wilson was going to be controversial, and I was in the minority, right? Definite. For Chris Sims, definite number one pick.
Some of the highlights of past years as Chris Sims unveils his quarterback draft rankings for 2024. We will get into them in detail. But, Chris, before I continue,
right.
I need to say one thing.
Yeah, please do. I think I know where you're going to go. Right.
I say this on behalf of everyone that you have ever insulted with a smile on your face by telling them that they're old or that they're tired or anything else that you get away with because you have a natural charm that allows you to say anything to anyone at any time, no matter how offensive it might be, and you got a twinkle in your eye and a smile on your face, and they don't get mad at you. Man, you're getting old, and you're getting bald.
Man, damn, I know. My forehead was a 5-head already. Now it's a 6-head. And, you know, yeah, you are. You're an asshole. All right, let's just start right there. That's what you are, okay? But damn, I know. What was I thinking? I'm young. I mean, holy crap. My hair, you know, I used to just go to the barber and I'd let him cut my hair and I wouldn't say anything. But it got a few times like this where I was like, I can't take this anymore. I got to clean this up. Thank God I did that right there. Thank God I am much happier with this haircut as compared to whatever the hell you want to call that right there. But damn, yeah, life's going fast. Man.
But I will tell you this. I will tell you this. You haven't really lost that much hair in 6 years. The current cut reduces the impression. Like when you let it get long, right. It's starting to get thin. It looks more thin.
Right, right. Yes.
If that makes any sense.
It does. I got you. Yes. But thank you. Thank you for pointing that out, you jerk. And where do you want to start with this quarterback conversation?
Let's start at the top. I mean, you played your hand a little bit last week. Yeah. Not that it's a shock.
Right.
Caleb Williams is the guy. Caleb Williams is clearly the guy. And, you know, you and I entered the scouting combine before we heard from Ryan Poles and Matt Eberflus thinking, well, maybe they will and maybe they should keep Justin Fields and trade that pick. After you started looking at the film and after we talked to Caleb Williams and after we heard from the Bears, it became pretty clear he's the guy.
Yeah, he's the guy. He is. He's one of the most talented players I've ever seen come out in the draft at the quarterback position. That's plain and simple, right? He's in a class of his own as far as this draft's concerned. Really, there's nothing I look at right now. And again, I feel like I didn't even go all the way down the list with all the quarterbacks in this one. I really spent the last like 10 days, right, 11, 12 days, maybe more than that, on just really focusing mainly on the top 6 quarterbacks, right? You know, watching 5-6 games apiece, watching games from last year, watching reels, do all that. So I feel like, man, I'll be disappointed if I'm, you know, not close on this or got a great feel on this overall and how it all works out. But with the Caleb Williams especially, yeah, it's one of those when you turn on the film, right away you go, oh, whoa, that's a little different. Whoa, I haven't seen people do that like that. Wow, right? And it's across the board. This isn't just some, right, where I know in Zach Wilson I might have got enamored with the arm and I had some questions about anything, but, oh, he's talented. He'll figure it out. He seems like he's a good kid. This is one where there's no questions. This is not a proclamation. This is one where you turn it on and you go, hey, Chicago, start running to the podium now. Hand it in, right? I am a fan of Justin Fields, but after I evaluated Caleb Williams, yeah, you take Caleb Williams, you move on. Caleb Williams is special. He is. And it's across the board special, Mike. One, you know, yeah, I'm a sucker for physical ability. Okay. But hey, again, the great ones in the history of the sport, more times than not, had special physical ability. Doesn't matter what the position is for the most part. But, you know, the arm is off the charts good, right? The accuracy is off the charts good. If there's a guy open, he never misses. I mean, it's a never miss, let alone like those throws, you know, off platform, off his back foot, right? The movement and the throwing when he is moving is incredible. He's one of the best running, throwing quarterbacks I've ever seen. And he doesn't want to run, Mike. If he has to move, he is like Mahomes or Josh Allen. He's a scrambler. I want to scramble. I want to move like you see right here because I want to throw a laser. I know that's the best way to beat a team, right? It's one special play after another. In the pocket, Mike, he's the best in the pocket. One of the best I've ever seen ever. I mean, literally, working the pocket, being patient in the pocket, right? Fearless with people around him and has a rare skill that really I've only seen the great ones have, and I think more and more quarterbacks are trying to dabble in this, and I think this is the Mahomes effect, of he can kind of see the rush and see down the field at the same time, and that's rare, and he does it at a high level, right? There was a knock about him at all, the Notre Dame game, the interceptions, right? I mean, the way people talk about how loose he is with the football, I thought it was like he threw 30 touchdowns and 30 interceptions last year. He threw 5 interceptions the whole year. 3 of them were in one game. And yeah, it was a national TV game. 2 of them, there's nuance to it. As an ex-quarterback, a guy that's been taught football, all that, I could deal with 2 of them. He got a little unlucky. He missed the throw. So what? But either way, he played on a team where we're not talking about anybody in USC being drafted in the top three rounds. Their offensive line wasn't very good. Their offensive system doesn't blow you away. And it was a remarkably horrible defense, right? So that maybe led him to feel the burden of carrying the team at times. But Mike, it wasn't reckless. I mean, his ability to go through reads and see the field, to me, is the second best I've ever seen from a young quarterback coming out in the draft. Joe Burrow's the only one I've seen that's like, boom, 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 boom. And he threw the ball, and you're like, wow, I don't even know how he saw that. That was amazing. Caleb Williams is the same way there. I have no questions about Caleb Williams. He is in a class of his own. He is special. He is one of the best quarterbacks I've ever evaluated.
A point I want to make, and it's relative and relevant. Proper word, relevant, relative to what we're going to talk about next.
Right.
As your number two guy on the board. Folks in Chicago, and I do two spots there on The Score every week, one on Tuesday, one on Wednesday. Right. They're nervous about Caleb Williams not submitting to the medicals at the scouting combine, even though I think it's a great explanation. From their perspective, they got to figure out what they're going to do with Justin Fields. They're going to get a chance to take a closer look at Caleb Williams
after the
window would have closed.
Right.
Right. So what kind of a risk are they taking? It's like, well, how big of a risk is it really? Because the worst thing that's going to happen is something about Caleb Williams is going to freak you out. And so you're just going to take Jaden Daniels, the number two guy on your list, instead. You're still moving on from Justin Fields. It's not like you're going to be left high and dry. If there's some secret thing that Caleb Williams is hiding that he thinks you're not going to find when you look at him, I mean, he still knows he's going to get examined before he's drafted,
exactly,
for crying out loud.
Exactly right.
I can understand why people are nervous about it. They'd rather know ahead of time. But if it all blows up, you just go get the guy that, as you say, would be number one in any other year, Jaden Daniels.
Yeah, that's right. And hey, just before I hit that and go to Jaden Daniels, who's really impressive, but to your point too, hey, one, they're going to get to evaluate him. Two, he's never been hurt in his college career. He has nothing on film that shows any physical deficiencies. He's an incredible mover, Mike. He breaks a ton of arm tackles. He's got incredible side-to-side quickness, right? His ability to make people miss in space, like side-to-side-wise, is the best in the draft. You know, Jaden Daniels, I'm going to talk about, is an elite runner, but his ability to make people miss in the pocket and dodge him that way, it's not of Caleb Williams. And then the other thing I'll throw on that too is, and we talk about this a lot, these teams, the Bears, they got a West Coast scout. They got people entrenched there. They got people who know people at Oklahoma and at USC who are going to have great knowledge of his medical stuff already. They got a little inside info already. So that's where Chicago Bears fans, don't panic, right? They already got a feel for a lot of this stuff. And they'll get their last good thorough check when the time counts. So, you said it right, and hopefully that clears up the Caleb Williams stuff. He's phenomenal. Phenomenal. Now, Jaden Daniels, yes. Most years, if it's not C.J. Stroud, if it's not Caleb Williams, if it's not Patrick Mahomes, right? Okay, those guys, to me, it's like special, 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 right? Most years, Jaden Daniels is the number one pick in the draft, right? Jaden Daniels, first off, yes, size, he's tall, right? He's long. You know, he throws the ball incredibly well, has a great motion, very good mechanics for the most part. There's a few little things I'd maybe tweak here and there, but his ability to throw the ball down the field, throw the ball outside the numbers and down the field, he does it effortlessly, right? He doesn't need a lot of room to do it. I'm big into that, Mike, right? The ability to stand there, oh, people are in my face and I can just do that and still throw a 20-yard out route on the money. He's capable of doing that. Because of his size and his length, he can see over the line and over the middle of the field a little bit, right? They don't throw the ball over the middle of the field a lot. It's a lot of just like, hey, throw it outside here, throw the slot fade, right? It's a little bit of that. But reading the field and all that, again, I was really impressed with Jaden Daniels and his ability to see the field and go to the right place with the football. It might not be at the level of Caleb Williams, okay? And he might run a hair early at times, but not so much where I go, oh, he's turning down throws left and right. No, you know, he's a freak of nature when he runs. He runs like a wide receiver. So in his life, he's gone, wait, one is not open, two's not open, go, go, gadget legs, I'm out of here and I'm going to go run for 70, right? And that's fine. You know, and now he'll have to tinker with the fine line of the NFL and knowing, because there's some plays on film where you go, oh, just stay in the pocket. The protection's good. Number three's about to pop open, and you're going to hit him for a 20-yard gain. But I get it, and it's still, the talent is off the charts good, let alone we saw the person and the decision-making and all of that is all extremely good as well. He is a really good thrower of the football. I'm not going to say it's an elite C.J. Stroud, Caleb Williams, Josh Allen, Patrick Mahomes, but damn, it's just a tick underneath that. Jaden Williams, you know, like I said with Caleb Williams and the Chicago Bears, Commanders, you run to the podium and go, hey, we got our guy. This guy is a freak show. Let's go in the future. We're excited. And I think that's kind of the end of the conversation with those first two picks there.
And one of the big takeaways I had last Wednesday when we were at the scouting combine talking to the defensive players, the name that kept coming up about the toughest guy they faced was Jaden Daniels.
Yeah.
They couldn't catch him.
That's right.
Get him. Off he goes.
Right.
So that is an important skill to have, and you develop the rest of it, and you see what kind of a quarterback he can become. All right. We need to take a break.
Okay.
Talk about the best of the rest. We got a couple of X-Men on your list next. We'll talk about that when PFT Live continues right after this. All right, we continue with the Chris Sims unbuttoned and unmatched quarterback draft rankings. You really have been far more right than wrong. And I know the times that you're – and it's not – I mean, yeah. It's a projection.
It's
but
tough.
Your projection's right. Pretty damn good.
Thanks,
again,
man.
The year that nobody knew what Mahomes was going to do and he fell all the way to number 10, you had Mahomes as your guy.
Yeah.
I mean, so, you know.
I got
and you had
few.
Lamar Jackson, even though Josh Allen's pretty good too – you had Lamar Jackson in that, you know, as
yeah,
the best guy.
I had
he
Lamar
lasted
and,
all the number 32.
Yeah, Lamar so, and Josh at yeah. the top there. I, you know, at the end, I changed, right? I've told you that story with Lamar Jackson, and I'll never do that again. We were at the owners' meeting. We were in Arizona, I believe, that year for the owners' meeting. And I had so many people in the NFL, right, and some power players in the NFL media that were coming up to me and like, ooh, Lamar, you're crazy. Lamar Jackson, are you sure? I mean, man, Lamar Jackson, right? To where I started to think, they know something I don't know. They know, like, there's, I don't know. Maybe the guy can't do 2 + 2. I don't know. And I changed it a little right before the end of the draft, and I'll never do that again. I was pissed off that I did that. I let that kind of finagle.
But you know what?
Right.
Prime example.
Yeah.
Prime example of the risk you take when you don't have an agent during this critical period where the agent is working those people.
Yeah.
The agent would have
right.
been at that same league meeting
right.
working those same people and pushing back. You're wrong. You're wrong about Lamar Jackson. Let me tell you about Lamar Jackson.
Yeah.
I'll tell you this.
Right.
When you don't have that, all the other agents pounce on the guy. And that's a risk Caleb Williams is taking this year, but it doesn't matter. He's the one guy that's impervious to it all because it's obvious he's number one. But that's – I still believe – he went to the Ravens at 32. They traded back in to get him for that very reason. He didn't have that protection.
That's right.
That comes from having an agent
right.
who would have prevented that thing that changed your mind.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
We went over the top two, and then we get into the next cut below Caleb Williams and Jaden Daniels. You've got three guys that you have put on your third tier.
Yeah.
Franchise starting quarterbacks. Let's start with the guy that you, I know, as of last week, were very high on. We
yep.
met with him in Indianapolis, Bo Nix from Oregon.
Yeah, I mean, first of all, let me just say this. My tier three here, Bo Nix, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy. Let me just say, it is close here. It really is. It's a little beauty of the eye of the beholder, right? Let me say this, too, on top of that. Mike, I've never had a draft where I like my top five more than I like this right here. Where I go, wait, all five of these guys are starting NFL quarterbacks for my mind. You know, hey, we always got to have a top five, but in some years I've been like, yeah, number four, number five are like fourth round picks, right? I'm like, there's nowhere I'm drafting them in the top 64. This is different year. And I've never felt like, ooh, every one of them, I go, ooh, I like this guy's game. Damn, he's a starter. He can play. He's going to be good, blah, blah, blah. So this is tight here, all right? But I like Bo Nix next to be third. I do. One, Bo Nix's physical ability is being overlooked. I think that's the biggest thing to me if I had to make a banner statement, right? I wish he would have let it go a little bit here at the combine because he gets a little bit docked for arm strength because they threw a lot of screens at Oregon, right? Well, I can tell you, and this is what I'm here for, my man can throw the ball effortlessly outside, down the field, whatever you want to do. He can do it all. right? And he does not need space, Mike. He's a guy that doesn't need to step into the ball at all to push the ball down the field. Now, there's times where I wish he would do it even more, right? I wish he would. I wish he'd step into the ball, right, to maximize his power. But when he does, his arm is plenty powerful, right? One, now, other than Caleb Williams, doing things in the pocket, adjusting the arm angle, making the appropriate throw for the route and the coverage and all that, I thought he was second to only Caleb Williams in that department, right? Oh, slide, wait, the guy's going this, let me throw a little soft touch sidearm pass, right? He's very good at that. He and Caleb Williams, and I thought J.J. McCarthy, had the most arm angles to go to when they want to throw through a hole or a window, right? Here's another thing I'd say Bo Nix is very special at. One, he's an extremely good decision maker. He knows where to go with the ball. Again, can go through reads at a very high, quick pace level, right? Sean Payton's going to love Bo Nix. Let me just say that, too, right off the bat. Sean Payton, Bo Nix, I look at him and go, this is Drew Brees-ish, right? Except he might have more physical ability than even Drew had, right? And I don't say that lightly because Drew's a much better athlete than people give him credit for. But the other thing I love about Bo Nix, Mike, and you know this, I'm big into, does he take advantage of what's there to be had, right? Guys are open, boom, is he hitting them and maximizing there? And then when there's nothing there, right, as we know, that's when the game really starts. And that's what makes the really good ones great, is that, hey, everybody's covered. Ooh, we didn't protect that well, and we still got a 15-yard gain, right? That's Mahomes, that's Allen, that's Joe Burrow. Bo Nix off schedule as a scrambler, right? Nobody runs like Jaden Daniels. But when he scrambles, to me, he makes the most wow plays other than Caleb Williams outside the pocket with wow throws and moves like that. He's special in that department. I really like Bo Nix. He knows how to play quarterback. He's ready now. And his physical ability is much better than people have given it credit for up to this point, and I will be shocked if he doesn't continue to rise up people's boards here as we go on.
So where do you think he goes? We got 1 and 2 as quarterbacks. The Patriots need a quarterback at 3. It's either a quarterback or Marvin Harrison Jr. for them, I would assume. Where does Bo Nix go?
I hear you. Now, I think, like, I look at – let me just pull up my NFL draft order as I sit here just to have a little more context. I mean, one, we talk about Atlanta needing a quarterback, right? Right? I could see Zach Robinson.
Raiders at 7.
Right? I could see that as well. Them both looking at that. And I do think he'd fit the Luke Getsy offense. I certainly think he would fit Zach Robinson and the Sean McVay offense, right? I do that. And then again, that's where I get into that Denver Broncos conversation. I feel like I know Sean Payton. You know, he was raised in the Bill Parcells coaching world. So was I. You know, I feel like I always got a good beat on him. I just sat there when I watched Bo Nix and I just went, man, Sean Payton's looking at Bo Nix going, this is my kind of guy. He's made for the West Coast offense. He's seasoned. He's played a lot. He's going to know how to run my stuff, do all the checks. And then when he needs to make a play, the guy can make a play. I keep coming back to that thought, but I think Sean might have to trade up to get him. It could be dicey.
Can we put that top half of the draft back up,
yeah,
please? Because I think we need to make a few points here,
cool,
as it relates to the potential pursuit for quarterbacks. Let's, we got a lot of quarterbacks available this year. But, okay, Bears, Commanders, quarterback. Patriots, maybe quarterback. Cardinals, obviously not. Chargers, obviously not. Giants at 6. We've been talking about that.
I know.
A lot.
Right.
If they're done with Daniel Jones, as some believe, and even if they're not, this is the opportunity to get a guy at 6. Then you got the Falcons at 8. You've got the Vikings at 11, you got the Broncos at 12, the Raiders at 13. The Raiders clearly want a rookie quarterback. And Chris, I wouldn't rule out the Jets at 10.
I hear you.
I mean, I know they're all in this year, but one way for Joe Douglas to save his ass and guarantee that he exists and survives beyond 2024 if 2024 doesn't work out is to say, look who I got you in the draft, who we built around as our quarterback after Aaron Rodgers leaves following the 2024 season.
So that's right.
I wouldn't rule them out either.
No.
You got a lot of teams. And look, the Saints.
The Saints could be looking for the future, too.
Year.
Exactly right. Exactly. I'm with you, Mike. I know. That's
There's a lot of teams,
yes,
in the top half looking at quarterback potentially.
Yeah. And I think we got, like I've said on my list here, I think it's 5 first-rounders. I do. There's no doubt about it in my mind. It's five first rounders. And if you add Drake May in the conversation, right? But Michael Penix, let me hit on that.
Go ahead.
Sorry, because Michael Penix too, he's going to kind of be the wild card in this whole thing, right? Being older, has an injury history. It's going to scare people. Has a little bit of a frailish type of body, right? You know, there are some games like the national championship game when, hey, things weren't as wide open, you know, and the game got a little more physical and tough where maybe he didn't thrive to the capacity we'd all like and all that. Okay, sure. But damn, the guy's just a natural God-given great thrower of the football. I don't know what else to say. I mean, he slings it everywhere, right? Now, I gave Bo Nix the advantage over him because I think Bo Nix fits in more systems across the NFL, right? And then I think Bo Nix, of course, has a really good arm and off schedule and throwing the ball on the run. He was only second to Caleb Williams in that department. But man, right? If Michael Penix gets in the right system with a shotgun and they can protect the quarterback a little bit, man, Michael Penix makes so many big-time NFL-type throws. It's incredible, right? I mean, look at him here. And again, he's got a little bit more of a wind-up and a deliberate way in which he throws that maybe telegraphs it a hair more. He's got a low release, right? I think that's part of the reason you don't see a lot of quick game or throws over the middle sometimes in Washington, because batted balls might be an issue a little bit. But arm strength, feel, touch, throws sometimes, Mike, in the pocket where I go, how did he feel that guy about to come open? Or he's buying time and a guy's sitting there and all of a sudden he wheels up the sideline and he's already throwing it. I'm like, damn. I mean, he has some sixth sense about him that way. And even though he can run and get a 5 and 10 yards, I wanted to see, can you pop around the pocket and move and do all that, right? That's a big part of the game. Slide, move, boom, bam, bam, I hit the throw. I mean, that's life in the NFL. Penix is better at that than he gets credit for. He makes people miss and sets up and throws and makes some great throws more than people realize that way as well. But, man, damn good player, right? I understand the concerns, but if you watch the film and just go on the film, I don't know how you can sit there and go, wait, this is not one of the four or five best quarterbacks in the draft for sure, by the amount of big-time throws and the way the game was put on his shoulders. Pretty advanced offense. That could be an advantage and be a disadvantage. We know he had talent around him too, but you know they played a game in which they went, hey, we're going to ride your shoulders. We're going to let you throw the ball and make big-time throws, and that's how we're going to win the game. And there's something to be said about that. And I think that's maybe why I gave him an edge over J.J. McCarthy, who I love too, and we'll hit on the next segment. But, you know, Michael Penix was like, hey, we got to throw for 350 and four touchdowns to win the game today. J.J. McCarthy, awesome, I think capable of doing that, but played a different game and wasn't asked to do that. And I feel like that's why maybe I gave Michael Penix a little bit bump up in front of J.J. that way.
He's got those ACL tears that are going to cause some
definitely
concerns.
Right.
But, you know, that's part of football. You're going to have guys who have had injuries. They repair the injuries. Modern technology and science and medicine is such that guys can come back and you just have to take your chance and you have to go. And, again, with all these teams that need quarterbacks, there's a chance you're going to get guys overdrafted. But I think this is a year where, because I think back to 2011, when it was Jake Locker and Blaine Gabbert and Christian Ponder getting way overdrafted.
Yeah.
This year you've got teams that might overdraft, but you have quite a supply of competent quality quarterbacks.
Yeah,
not really overdrafting
right
them.
That's
you're not
right
taking you're not taking as much of a chance as they took in 2011
that's right
with those guys.
That's right. Like the year with Matt Corral and Kenny Pickett and Malik Willis, right?
Malik Willis.
Right? You had to make the list there, but I mean, damn, I don't know if I really liked any of them, right? But I mean, I had to go with it. And yeah, I liked, you know, Corral's talent, but you know, at the time, it was like Kenny Pickett. I don't, there's nothing he does elite, right? All the things that we hear in Pittsburgh and everybody complaining about now, that's what it was saying. You know, so yes, this is different than that year where you got to come up with a top five or some other years. This is a year where the top five, I go, damn, they're all NFL starting quality type of guys here. And like you said, with the need and some of the things that are out there, I think it can make it to a very interesting top 20 this year for sure.
Just 2 years ago, Matt Corral was entering the NFL draft. In 23 days, he debuts as the starting quarterback of the Birmingham Stallions of the UFL. assuming he wins the starting quarterback job. And again, it's not an indictment of him. It's just the reality.
Yeah.
You come to the NFL and it works out or it doesn't. All right, we're going to take a break. Couple more to talk about from the Chris Sims quarterback rankings for 2024 when PFT Live continues right after this. Just a couple more to go on the top six for Chris Sims quarterback rankings for 2024. J.J. McCarthy, a guy that his former head coach Jim Harbaugh said will be the number one overall pick in the draft by the time it's all said and done. That's not going to happen, but he's going to end up going higher than people thought. He's really forced his way, Chris, into the conversation. You have him in your third tier at number five.
Yeah, in my third tier, very aware that he could be drafted third off the board. I don't think that's crazy, right? Like I said, this 3-4-5, it's close. I really like J.J. McCarthy a lot, right? Other than Caleb Williams and Bo Nix, I would say, are right there with him. Nobody's on Caleb's level, but right with Bo Nix as far as, you know, the ability to chain arm angles, right? The awareness in the pocket to slide and throw a 20-yard in-cut still between the guard and tackle hole. It's really damn good there, right? He played Mike in the most unfriendly quarterback offense in college football. It's not easy. Run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball, run the ball. Oh, it's 3rd and 13. We know you're not in rhythm or anything, but can you throw a strike for us, right? There's something to be said about that. And there's so many good 15 to 30-yard throws when you watch him on film. Now, hey, again, he might only throw it 15 times in that game, but it's going to be like 11 for 15. And out of those 11 completions, like 8 or 9 of them are going to be like explosive plays. He's got a very strong arm. He does. I think it's in the conversation for, I'm not going to say it's stronger than Caleb Williams, but it's second. I think it's second when you talk about pure power and he wants to really let it go, out routes, deep crossers, he can fire it. He really can. He threw it 61 miles per hour at the combine. It was, I think, only second to the big guy at Tennessee. But McCarthy, phenomenal, really. And, yeah, I look at him and go, he's a franchise starting quarterback. He's good off schedule. He makes a lot of throws on the run doing that. And, of course, he's been playing like a pro. And it hasn't been easy to play that way in college football this day and age. So, yeah, got him number five. I'm excited to see J.J. McCarthy. And, of course, I've met him. I've seen him throw in person. He's got it all. He really does. And he's the kind of guy you want to lead your football team. I'm a big fan of J.J. McCarthy.
Let's do this. We're going to punt on Drake May. You talked about it on your podcast. If anybody wants to hear it, they can go there. I want to make a point about McCarthy. Can we show some B-roll on McCarthy? When I see him, I ask myself, does he have the body? Does he have the thickness to be an NFL quarterback?
Right.
You know, that's just one of the things. When you watch football for 50 years, you know who looks like an NFL quarterback and who doesn't. He needs to gain about 30 pounds.
He's 6'2" and a half and 219. He's heavier than Michael Penix. He's heavier than Bo Nix.
He doesn't look it.
I know. It is a little.
Look it.
It is a little. He definitely can add some armor. He's got a young person's body still. That's where. I don't think there'll be a problem there. I think in 2 or 3 years, we're going to look at him and go, oh, he's 6'2 and a half. He's 228 now, right? And But I hear you there. I think with him and Michael Penix, right, there's some evaluators that will look at that and go, oh, I don't know if I love their body. It might be a frail. I think that's be one, you know, negative about both of them that some people will have on them.
All right, we'll take a quick break. When we return, a guy who was a third-round pick back in 2012, hitting the market next week and eligible and available to talk to teams now. The latest on Russell Wilson, next year on PFT Live. In advance of next Wednesday's release of Russell Wilson by the Denver Broncos, they have given him permission to speak to other teams. Look, this is simple. They have to wait until Wednesday after 4 p.m. Eastern to release him to do the post-June 1 designation and not take an $85 million cap charge in 2024. They know they're going to cut him. They've announced they're going to cut him. Why keep him from talking to other teams about what he's going to do next? And really, without official permission, it's not going to stop him. What are the Broncos going to do? File tampering charges? They're done with him. They're moving on. They're doing the right thing by giving them permission. And when that came out yesterday, I had people say, whoa, they're going to try to trade him? They're trying to trade him? No. This is about him laying the foundation for wherever he's going to land after they release him on Wednesday. Puts him in a position to hit the market with everyone else who's going to be a free agent. You can talk. You can make an offer. You can do whatever. And then once the Broncos let him go, he can sign with a new team. I think they're doing right by him. I think it would have happened anyway. It's just nice that they're officially giving him the permission to go out there and figure out where he's going to go next.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, they could just cut him, and then he's got the permission, right? But, I mean, I guess, too, you know, Mike, and you tell me if you think this is right or wrong, too. You take the chance. Maybe some team will go, you know, maybe they'll get down to, wait, oh, whoa, oh, you know what? Maybe we will give you a sixth-round pick. And you
not
know,
happening.
I wouldn't think so, and I would think that's where I was going to go. Then the Broncos would probably still have to pay a huge chunk of money if somebody wanted
not
to
happening.
Secure the rights. So I know it's not. I'm just throwing it out there,
yeah.
Right? Right?
Right.
But, yeah,
no,
so that's why I don't
that's
really –
why it won't happen.
Why doesn't it matter? Why do this?
Million.
Just cut him and say, see you later, and then go
no,
figure it out.
But I just said why. If you cut him now – you take an $85 million cap charge in 2024.
Oh, yeah, gotcha.
They have to wait until 4:01
right.
Eastern on Wednesday
gotcha.
To do it.
My bad. Right.
So he takes advantage of this week
yes.
to lay the foundation for his next move.
That's
so,
right. That's
and
right.
He would have anyway. He would have anyway.
Yeah.
I mean, his agent's going to call up whoever he wants to call up, and they're going to have their conversations. That's how the world works.
That's right.
But it's just right for them to say, go ahead and do it.
Yeah,
and then
that's
then the question
right.
becomes, where does he go? I mean, is he really going to take $1.21 million? Why wouldn't you? The Broncos pay him the rest anyway. But the risk you take is you're going to go somewhere that, hey, yeah, you're our guy. Oh, wait, you're not our guy. You know, I would not bet a cent on the Steelers. He's not going to go to Pittsburgh. If it's close, he's not the starter. If it's close, Kenny Pickett is the starter.
I hear you. There's a lot
Vikings.
Of things here
the
that
Vikings
play against it.
The Vikings are the only
it.
Ones that make
right.
sense to
right.
me. If they want him. If Kirk Cousins leaves, they may not want him, but that's the only place where I think he could go there knowing I'm the guy all year long.
Yeah, definitely. But I think the other problem is does anybody want to seriously commit to making him the guy all year long after the last few years and then the circus that we know that comes along with Russell Wilson? A lot of teams are going to go, wait, I don't want to be involved in that. I don't want to deal with it. So I hear you, Mike. It's going to be get your popcorn ready for the Russell Wilson combo.
All right, we're going to take a break. We'll wrap things up right after this.
Wow.
Matt LaFleur.
Wow.
And Matt Eberflus hanging out at the Marquette basketball game. Marquette, UConn. Yeah, they should be hanging around each other. Bears fans and Packers fans won't like that because they want everyone from their team to hate everyone from the other team because
yeah.
they hate the other team and everything about the other team. They'll understand that these folks are all like in the same industry and they get along and they have a network of friends and they can set aside their colors and be normal human beings from time to time, like last night.
No, definitely. You can do that, but it's still rare. I mean, it's rare. You see coaches kind of rub elbows like that at a public event like that. Certainly.
Literally.
But
literally rub elbows.
Yeah, definitely. Right. Enjoying
literally.
Some college football. Hey, have fun
Thanks
working tomorrow.
Time.
See ya.
Enjoy your long weekend. Enjoy your long weekend. Bye.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in-store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
The longest field goal ever attempted is 76 yards. The longest field goal ever missed? Also 76 yards. Why bring this up? Because knowing your limits matters. Both when you're kicking a field goal and when you gamble. Betting more than you're comfortable with is like trying a 70-yard field goal. It probably won't go well. So set a limit when you gamble and stick to it. Want more helpful tips like this? Go to KeepItFunOhio.com for games, quizzes, and lots of ways to keep your gambling from getting out of hand.